Here on Law and Disorder, we've discussed at length issues of surveillance, from broad-ranging FBI wiretaps to lawsuits challenging the NSA to an even smaller yet all-pervasive Orwellian microchip. Today, we are delighted to welcome back, and this time in the studio, Liz McIntyre, co-author of the book Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID. RFID stands for Radio Frequency Identification Chip. Tiny microchips embedded in clothing such as blue jeans, tennis shoes, and other products that broadcast or communicate by radio frequency, sending information to the database for processing. The tags can be so tiny that you may never know they are there. Retailers claim RFIDs are essential in alerting them when inventory, like sodas or clothing, are low. But author Liz McIntyre says this technology does a lot more. It accumulates information that can track and build profiles of individuals, private data that can be used for any number of purposes. Welcome, Liz, to Law and Disorder.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We're thrilled to have you back. Liz, we've talked before on a couple of segments that we've done with you about the RFID chip. But for our listeners, can you once again explain briefly what it is?
Sure. RFID stands for Radio Frequency Identification, and it's a technology that uses very tiny computer chips. Heidi, some of these are smaller than a grain of sand, and they're used to track items from a distance. Now, they're hooked up to little miniature antennas, and each of these chips and antenna combinations called RFID tags have unique identification numbers, like social security numbers for things. And there is your privacy problem. You can uniquely identify things. In fact, major corporations, we're talking Procter & Gamble, Walmart, Gillette, they want to put one of these RFID tags on every single product on planet Earth. I mean, every shirt, every shoe, every pair of pants, everything.
So right now, they're being used for consumer items.
We're starting to see those in places like Walmart, on larger items like Hewlett-Packard printer scanners, Lexmark printer scanners. We've seen some on some Sanyo TV set boxes, and right now they're on the outside of the boxes, but plans show they're looking to put those in more stealthy places, deep within products, where people can't see them and possibly can't remove them.
The rationale for this is for inventory, supposedly.
Yeah, well, right. Well, obviously, it's great to be able to see inside boxes without opening them up, because these communicate by radio waves, like, you know, the radio waves people are listening to this program on today. You know, those radio waves travel out in space, right through solid objects. Well, these RFID radio waves also travel through solid objects like our purses, our backpacks, our wallets, and boxes. And so, you know, it's helpful in the warehouse. If you have a box full of items that are tagged, you can simply point one of what we call a reader device. It sends out a pulse of electromagnetic radiation. It activates these tags, which by themselves just sit there. They don't really beam anything out till they're activated. Then those tags can beam back those unique identification numbers. And of course, that can link to unlimited information in a database.
How pervasive are the readers?
Well, of course, that's another thing that's a mystery, because these things can also be so easily hidden in doorways, under ceiling tiles, under floor tiles, and park benches.
So I can walk down the street, and I may not know it, but there could be 10 or 20 different readers?
Absolutely. They can be easily hidden, and we have actually uncovered plans for just that.
How far away? And can you talk about the plans you've uncovered?
Sure. Well, we were talking a little earlier about IBM's identification and tracking of persons using RFID tagged items. Well, part of that patent application, they've developed a person tracking unit. And they suggest that the government...
IBM has developed this.
And IBM suggests that the government could track people through these tags we're talking about that are in their clothing, their shoes, and other possessions in public places. And in this patent application, they name the places: airports, train stations, bus stations, libraries, elevators, and even restrooms. Can you believe they name restrooms? They name these in a sworn public document.
Now, how far away can something be read, mm-hmm, or information be scanned?
Well, it varies quite a bit, and it can be a very short distance. It can be 20 or 30 feet. The government is looking to develop super capabilities. We found an RFI, a request for information, by the Department of Homeland Security. They want to be able to scan people from up to 25 feet away. They want to pinpoint them on the street through documents containing these chips, whether they're rolled up in their pockets or in their wallets or backpacks. They want to be able to read these tokens up to 55 of them on buses as they roll in from other
55
countries.
55 at a time.
55 tokens uniquely, yes. And they want to be able to track these RFID tags in cars speeding by at up to 55 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like the way they now monitor speed traps. But what about satellites and ships? Is there any technology involving satellites?
Yes, it's very possible if you have an active RFID tag. That would be one with batteries on board. You could actually communicate with low-orbiting satellites. In fact, scientists are tagging fish in the ocean, whales and turtles, and they actually, when they come to the surface, they can connect with a satellite. And, of course, when you have RFID tags, they uniquely identify objects. They can connect to other devices and hook to satellites. So you have this passive RFID tag, no battery. Seems innocuous, right? Read it from 20 feet away. Well, a reader device that reads that, you know, that's hidden someplace, could be connected to a GPS transceiver, right?
Okay, explain. Say we do see a reader, God forbid, in a public bathroom in New York.
I don't think you'll see it. I think they'll hide it.
Oh, right.
In fact, they're already putting them in soap dispensers. There's a company that has developed one.
You're saying that they could be hooked up to another device.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't they?
And explain to our listeners, give us a hypothetical of what this might mean. Where could it be used and for what nefarious purposes?
What it means is that an RFID tagged items, regardless of the distance at which it can be read, could communicate through other devices up to a satellite. You could pinpoint pretty much a tagged object anywhere on the planet if you have a reader device in range.
Oh, I see. So it extends the area that information can be communicated.
Absolutely.
Now, since we are a law-related program as well as political, I'm curious whether there have been any lawsuits yet brought around the chips.
I don't think it's been deployed widely enough yet for that to happen. But we're waiting. We're waiting.
Because this seems a field ripe for new legal interpretation, sort of like internet law.
Absolutely. I mean, you see these kinds of abuses, like these credit cards that can be scanned from a distance and you know, the potential of identity theft in these credit card companies not taking responsibility and recalling the cards or informing their customers. You see things like the VeriChip going into people's bodies and people not knowing that, you know, because the VeriChip Corporation has said, oh, if you don't want it, it's like a splinter. You just remove it. Well, the CNN reporter got shipped for a story she was doing, decided to have it removed, and she found out it was quite a medical procedure, had to have it surgically removed, and now has a scar. So, you know, things like this that happen, people who get shipped who don't know, and by the way, those people at City Watcher, I called them before anyone else got to them, and I said, do you know this? Do you know that? No, they had no idea. No idea of the cloning, no idea about how hard it would be to remove this chip. Now, if those employees at some point decide, you know, this is simply not a good idea, which it simply isn't, they get smart to what this is really all about. And they say, you know, I'm no longer working here. I want this chip removed. And they realize, you know, they're going to have a permanent disfigurement and an ordeal. I can imagine that there are going to be some lawyers knocking on that company's door.
It definitely seems that this cuts across a range of areas, from privacy to liability for the corporations like the banks that start using this if identity theft becomes pervasive. It's horrifying, though, to think that one could be chipped and then have to have it surgically removed. And is there even a guarantee that a doctor can find it if they're so small?
Well, they are. Well, what the VeriChip Corporation does is try to ensure this won't migrate, because obviously these chips could migrate to your pancreas or your brain, for example. In animal chips, they found that happening. So they found a little technique to help keep them in place. They put a sticky white substance called BioBond on the end of the chips, and it encourages scar tissue formation. So the scar tissue will hold it in place. So actually, when you want to remove it, then you have to cut away that scar tissue. Right. So, but still, even though that scar tissue will form, it is possible for it to migrate somewhat. And that example of the CNN reporter I talked about, that had migrated somewhat, just a little bit. But even a little bit on a small chip like that, you're talking about having to dig around inside somebody to locate it.
Liz, I looked at your fabulous website earlier today, spychips.com. Can you tell our listeners some of the things that we can be doing if we're concerned about the spread of chips?
Absolutely. Well, one is, of course, to educate yourself about what RFID technology is, and thank you for spreading the word about this to consumers who, I mean, how else will they find out? Of course, they can read our book, and hopefully now that they've heard this, they'll want to learn a lot more. We have a book by the same title, Spy Chips, out now. It's now a Penguin Plume book, and it's been updated since the hardcover came out. So we have some new information in there. And we ask that people tell their friends, their neighbors, their family, their churches, the places, you know, where they congregate, tell people there, because this has to be a grassroots effort. Unfortunately, a lot of commercial media outlets are beholden to big companies.
Big business. Well, would you advise members of the general public to write to big business and start campaigns telling them they don't want to buy their products?
Absolutely. And one thing people can do is vote with their dollars. The free marketplace is a great place to start. Companies exist because of us consumers and our shopping dollars. If we stop sending our shopping dollars their way, they're going to have to change or they're going to have to go out of business. And so we're telling people, you know, Walmart is the 800-pound gorilla of RFID and retail. They're forcing all of their suppliers to adopt the technology, even though they really don't want to, and they have to or they'll go out of business. Well, if we stop shopping at Walmart, we write to them and say why, or we cut back on our shopping. I know some people don't have a lot of choices, they're going to have to start listening. Procter & Gamble is a big proponent of RFID technology. They have patents out there for tracking people in stores. They're talking about tracking people through in their homes through their refrigerators. We say don't buy Procter & Gamble products.
Well, also, I'm wondering about pharmaceuticals. Will those be chipped? So would it be possible to find out what drugs someone is taking?
They're already being chipped.
Which is a huge invasion of privacy.
Yeah, Viagra, for example. I mean, you don't want to go out to dinner on a dinner date and have your have your date scan you from across the table and go, ew, Viagra. Yeah.
Liz, there are pills with chips in them?
Right. Actually, there's one product called Jonah, sort of named after the biblical story of Jonah and the whale. You swallow this RFID-laden pill, and it actually can monitor your temperature as it goes through your system. And it does actually come out at some point.
And is the purpose allegedly to assist in diagnosis?
Absolutely, at this point. But of course, if you can do it for that purpose, you can do it for another. And I've actually seen some other interesting patent applications on file about how to put these kinds of tags into things people would ingest and keep them there a little bit longer. And of course, you know.
So they remain in the body.
For some time, yeah. So yeah, and of course, with the developments in technology and nanotechnology, I expect we'll see much more invasive types of ingestible RFID products down the road.
Liz, just an estimate, how many patents are out there for RFID-related?
Oh, I have spent thousands and thousands of hours at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and I've just touched the surface. People are very excited about the possibilities with this, and of course, as with many kinds of areas of patenting, they're looking for, you know, any kind of opportunity. And if you can think of a bad idea, an invasive idea, I can tell you it's already
there are
been
patents
thought of.
Out there.
There are patents for it.
This is frightening. Would you say there are 100 patents out there?
100? Oh my gosh. I would say thousands and thousands and thousands. And every day there are more.
Yeah, top five
top
bad.
Top five bad patent applications.
So we can make
patents.
A list.
Oh my gosh. Well, IBM tops my list. IBM with its identification and tracking of persons using RFID tagged items, their bad idea of tracking people through things they wear and carry that are associated with them at point of purchase. And then on top of that, that's bad enough, you know, using it for marketing purposes. But on top of that, they talk about the government tracking people with that. That's got to be number one for me.
Right.
Number two, oh my gosh, there are so many. NCR has a patent application for tracking people in store environments, and they have it down to where people could pick up things off of store shelves, and the reader systems could know. They're picking up a can, for example.
A can of beans.
A can of beans. They can time how long the person holds
looks
the can.
Looks at it.
Whether they put it back on the shelf and pick something else up, infer whether the person is, you know, comparison shopping. Looking at whether they put it in their cart and take it back out again, what other things are in there. It's all about getting more money from consumers and knowing all about them, things that even their mothers don't have a right to know.
But then clearly the repercussions are that we could have someone spying on us in our own homes for hours at a time.
Yeah, I think we have another one that's right up there on my list, Accenture. It's a spinoff, I believe, of Ernst & Young. Remember when accounting firms had to split their consulting businesses away?
Right.
You know, for ethical reasons.
Right.
Well, I guess, you know, Accenture decided that it would be great fun to develop all kinds of RFID ideas. One of their really bad ideas is their patented idea they call the Real World Showroom. And this whole idea is that the whole world will be a showroom, and people armed with PDAs could just click away on people walking down the street, to figure out what they're wearing and carrying, how much it costs, and how they can get one themselves.
No.
We think that that's a really, really bad idea, and we've nicknamed this the pervert's best friend.
So that's
number three on my list of the top five.
Number four. What's number four?
Number four. Bank of America has a patent here. It's called System and Method for Interactive Advertising. And what they propose is having these sort of kiosk-type things or posters out in public places like train stations and so on. And these posters would have RFID reader devices in them. So when people congregate, they could know the exact identity of someone by a key fob or something about the people who are congregating. And then they could actually deliver specific advertising, actually talk to these people. They're talking about having speaker systems in there. And they're talking about having ways that they can actually watch people, too, at the same time and watch their reactions.
Gauge their reactions.
Absolutely. Now, what's really funny about this patent application, the speaker system, they talk about how this they've actually considered privacy in developing this particular device.
How so?
They say that the audio device is designed only to project to persons who are directly in front of the display. And they claim that this will allow the customer to, quote, have some degree of privacy, at least with regard to the audio program of an interactive poster.
Does the patent office look at the legality and the privacy concerns?
I don't believe that's the job of the patent and trademark office. I think they're just supposed to look at ideas and they're supposed to say, is this a unique idea? Is it workable? Because, you know, when you file a patent application, you have to swear it works. And this is a serious document. You're under oath when you
send that thing. So have these been tested?
Well, they have to send in schematics about how it would work. And, of course, the people examining these patent applications, and they have to have a background in the technology. And so, yes, I would have to say that they work. And by the way, if anyone out there in the listening audience believes that, or any companies out there that have filed these patents and they say, really, we were only joking, these really don't work, well, there's a penalty for that. Mm. And we would love to know about it and talk about litigation.
Well, I think a lot of us would like to talk about litigation, Liz, and this has added just more information to the chilling documents that you've provided us in your wonderful book, Spy Chips, which is now available from Penguin Books.
Yes, it's a Penguin book under the Plume imprint, and it's available in all the major bookstores, and of course, you can order it online, too.
Liz, what would be number five on your list?
Well, you know, ordering these is really hard because they're all so bad. But these last two, we're hoping will never really be implemented. So I'm making these five. There are two I'm going to
tie.
A tie. And these all have to do with actually RFID and human beings. And yeah. One is called Method and Apparatus for Locating and Tracking Persons. Now, this is a patent application by a company in California called Persephone, and they're talking about the verichip not being buried deeply enough in the human body because it could be removed. So they're talking about burying these tracking chips deep within the human body, and in the patent application, they show internal organs of females and males, places like the uterus where there are natural pockets and these things could go in permanently and not be removed. They talk about adding some features to this device, including a cattle prod device that could electroshock you from inside. They talk about adding microphones that could project your conversations remotely, and a GPS tracking device that could actually be used to locate someone who might be lost or purposely lost.
Liz, did I hear you? Cattle prodding device?
Correct. It's an electroshock feature. They suggest adding to this particular.
I could see
product.
Law enforcement coming up with applications for this.
Absolutely. And now you want to hear the other one? I mean, it's also terrible. I have to warn you. We call it the human enslavement device, and it's actually a bulletproof armband that communicates by radio waves, and it has an injector device. So if you step out of line, someone could remotely trigger the injection device to deliver a knockout drug to you. This is called Method and Apparatus for Remote Monitoring and Control of a Target Group. The person who patented this, now this is not a big company that patented this.
I'd like
this
to
thing.
Hear who patented this.
I don't know if I should say it on the air. It's actually.
Well, he's in the book, isn't
he? You're right. He's in the book, and he actually is on file at the Patent and Trademark Office. It's a public document. We're allowed to say it, I guess. George Vodin. And he comes
I'd
up
love
with
to know George's background.
I expect that some journalist is probably going to call this guy up. We've been waiting. We've been wondering, why hasn't anyone called him up and say, what were you thinking? But anyway, this device would deliver a knockout drug. And we figure
Well, I think these should be number one on our list, quite
honestly.
But,
you know, I think they're probably less likely. The others are actually, you know, they're
realistic possibilities.
And not to say these aren't realistic. I mean, they could absolutely happen, especially, but we figure that slaveholders, third world dictators, sadistic school administrators, terrorist kidnappers, and dungeon prison guards overseeing hellholes everywhere would love to get their hands on these kinds of gadgets.
Liz, this is if it weren't so horrific, it would be humorous.
Well, sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying.
Right.
But yeah, this is very serious technology. It's coming our way. People have got to know what's happening. They've got to tell other people, and they've got to be prepared.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Law and Disorder is produced by Jeff Brady.
We'd like to thank our affiliates and our many listeners.